You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Are you scatting?
We're on a fat bump.
This is amazing. This is the best send-off for my wedding I could ever have.
So this is the last session, last recording session that Jen and I have together.
Before. Oh, I'm Jen, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Hi, I'm Jess. So Jen's getting married a week from Saturday, or a week from Friday, really. That's for her friends and family, her basically your close peeps.
Yeah, this episode drops on Tuesday. I'll be married in like 4 days.
This is crazy. So it's weird because this is like we're recording this and she is kind of like, you know, she's an unmarried gal. She's like not exactly single, but.
Woo! Let's party.
Yeah. Are you going to have a ring the next time?
I have an engagement ring.
Yeah, but I'm going to
have
a ring.
Yeah. It's Grandma Ruby's. Did I not tell you this?
You kind of did. But tell everyone.
My mom and I, we found her old, like she had her wedding ring with diamonds. And my mom said, do you want to use one of them for an earring or something? And I looked at a picture I had of her and I was like, well, what's this other ring? And she had this other wedding ring that had come with her original engagement ring, just a lovely white gold simple band. And I said, will you bring
it
up? She brings it up. I kid you not, my grandma was like the most slender, elegant lady. Like her fingers were just beautiful and slim. Mm-hmm. And I have like little chubby paws.
You do not.
It fit me perfectly on my ring finger. What are the chances?
It was meant to be.
And so then Eric took it and got like the men's version made, like a little bit wider, but same exact style. I'm so excited to wear it.
That's really nice.
Oh, my God. That got schmoopy. Let's talk about beauty.
It's okay. Schmoopy.
Let's talk about beauty.
So we've got three hot topics right now. I've got to make them good because you're leaving soon. Mm-hmm. We're talking about big body shop news.
Environmentally friendly news.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about when your relationship squashes one of your favorite fragrances. End of a relationship, end of that scent. Bye-bye. And then last but not least, skincare fridges. Do you need one?
I don't know about that. We should ask our guest. Our guest is Shrankla Holchek. She is the founder of Uma Beauty, a beautiful Ayurvedic skincare brand. And she's also a bit of an Ayurvedic expert herself with a long heritage and family history of Ayurvedic medicine and healing. And she's going to teach us everything. So I was scrolling through the gram, hitting up some of our UK friends, and I saw a tiny bit about how in the UK, Body Shop was discontinuing its makeup wipes. And I was like, huh, that's a huge business decision.
Yeah.
And there was like a little pattern of like, oh, it's because of environmental reasons, whatever. And I was just like, if that's true, that's amazing. So I went to the Body Shop to get the word. You ready?
What'd they say? You know, I love the Body Shop.
You like some primary source reporting is what you like. See, this people, you're not just getting bloggers online who don't know what they're talking about. You're getting us. So the Body Shop is indeed discontinuing makeup wipes. So here's the story.
Okay, yeah.
By the end of 2019, and this is globally, we will be discontinuing our tea tree cleansing wipes. And then in early 2020, we will discontinue our vitamin E gentle facial cleansing wipes. And I double checked. And indeed, that's the only two types of body wipes they have. I say this is a commercial decision that aligns with our commitment to reduce our impact on the environment. Damn Body Shop.
I love the Body Shop. They put their money where their mouth
is. They had a whole moment where I think they're L'Oreal owned and they sort of went off and like lost a little bit of track of their roots and there was a lot of makeup coming out and that's probably when the makeup wipes came out. But then recently they started pulling back and really doubling down on their original point of being, which was environmentally friendly cosmetics. Which is like one of the reasons I got into beauty. Truly one of my favorite brands when I was growing up.
Well, I put something up just quick sidebar on our Instagram that it was like one of those TBT moments and it was the bath beads. You and I both would go get the bath beads when we were like at the mall, you know?
They were like these little Oh, is it a bead? It's like a circular kind of gumball wrapped. Shaped.
It would dissolve and they would be like, you know, you could have like your mango one, your vanilla
yeah,
one.
Yeah, speaking environmentally friendly, I don't think the casing on that probably was.
No, they don't make them anymore.
Probably for that reason. Yeah. So yeah, they're not going to have makeup wipes. And I'll be honest with you, I love makeup wipes, but lately, every time I throw one out, I have like a little guilt inside.
So here, it's related. It's like related slash unrelated to what you're saying. I also saw a headline this afternoon after we talked about this Body Shop stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm enjoying a gummy. That the UK is banning, they call them cotton buds.
Q-tips. You
know? Yeah.
Not cute, the cotton buds, yeah, cotton but plastic buds. Cotton buds.
So, but when I was reading more about it,
mm-hmm.
I kind of gasped because it said like a huge percentage of cotton buds are freaking flushed. People.
They're putting them in the toilet. This is all probably stemming from that damn Fatberg. Remember when we had the whole discussion about butt wipes?
Yeah.
And they had a big problem because people were putting baby wipes down the toilet and it just caused this huge thing where then they poured fat from like the bacon grease, whatever, and a Fatberg formed over in London and took over the city.
There are Fatbergs even in the U.S.
Everywhere. Do not Google it. We'll put a link. Google it.
We need to know. I am shocked when intelligent people who are in my life have flushed wipes. And the fact that people are flushing Q-tips or cotton buds is terrifying to me.
It's funny because it's almost less guilt feeling than putting it in the trash. You're like, I'm not making trash. It's just going in the sewer.
No.
Where do you think the sewer goes, people? It gets all clogged up in weird screens and then they have to put it in a landfill.
The animals are eating them. I saw this heartbreaking photo.
God, don't tell me the turtle with it up his nose.
The turtles with them up their nose. They can't breathe. You stick a freaking toothpick, a Q-tip up your nose and see how you do it during the day.
Okay. Back to the point. Not the animals. It's all bad. But makeup wipes became so trendy and it was one of those trends, the same with the butt wipes, where it was like, we didn't need this 20 years ago. Why all of a sudden are we making this thing? And my favorite is when they're like, oh, it's biodegradable. Are you going and putting your makeup wipe in the compost bin? And what about the makeup that came up off it that's now on it?
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that.
Someone else was talking about this the other day. Someone was like, oh, they're cotton, you know, and so you can. But then it's like, what about the lipstick and the waxes and the chemicals that might be on it that you just wiped off your face?
Completely. Going right into the ocean, going right to the animals that are a part of our ecosystem and are like sentient. It's too crazy.
I'm going to get off my like high horse. I probably will still be using makeup wipes. I'm not going to lie. And I don't use them every day, but they're
like,
definitely.
How often do you use them? I only use them if I'm traveling, if that.
I use
like
them at work, though, because I'm testing products and I want to take them off my hand or my face.
A micellar water, a tissue, you're good, or a cotton pad. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying like there are
alternatives. Tissue still has to go in the trash. It's like the minute you start thinking about these things, your brain hurts.
Well, I do use a washcloth most nights of the week.
I use a washcloth too.
Right? Like get yourself, if you're having some trouble, go on to like...
Oh, and we switched to cloth napkins in my household too.
Oh, fancy. Oh, that's actually quite posh.
I bought 12 for $12 on Amazon. They're really cute. They look like those little French linen towels.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a link to them because I really like them. And I just put them in the wash right after dinner. And truly, I feel really good about it.
Pretend you're a French farmer's wife.
Yes.
A glamorous one. Get yourself some napkins like Jen did. Get yourself the nicest washcloth you can buy. Or even like I have some from Kate
muslin.
Spade.
Muslin. I think she's French farmer's wife. She has like a muslin cloth.
Muslin cloth. Yves Lam style. Do it.
Yes.
Okay. Let's all do it together.
And raise a wand to the Body Shop. I like this initiative.
Okay, Jen, so you and I have done a million stories. I honestly have lost track of about fragrance and the connection to the emotional part of ourselves. And memory. It's actually scent and memory. That's more specific.
Yes, way back in your amygdala, I believe.
Okay, amygdala. Yes, yes, yes. So doesn't this sound like someone from Star Wars?
Amygdala? I was just thinking the same thing.
Really?
And she has big braids over her ears for some
reason. Yes, yeah. I'm not a Star Wars person, but definitely there's a connection. So when I think about fragrances that I love, I think about obviously the ones that I'm wearing now, like my little library. But then I have to go back to other parts of my life where I loved X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are a no-go zone.
Because?
You associate them with a time in your life. And it's not necessarily a time in your life that you don't want to remember, but it's a time of your life that needs to be bookended by something.
Oh, no. I have scents that I can't wear because they remind me of an ex that I don't want to think about.
Exactly. I mean, like, just be honest. Like, you know, there are things like, oh, this reminds me of like, a job I didn't like or like a time I wasn't happy with myself.
Yeah.
But the scents that are surrounding a relationship, They've got to go back on the shelf.
And not only the scent you were wearing, everybody always talks about this, but the scent he or she was wearing, your partner.
Or they.
It makes you, the minute you smell it, you think of them.
Right.
And I've dated people and then they were wearing a scent that an ex wore. And I was like, this isn't going to work out.
Completely. So what I have to ask you, are some of your no-go
Here's
scents?
Here's one. Creed Silverwater.
Oh, this guy was fancy.
Yes, he was a doctor.
Fancy. A doctor.
A plastics, an otorhinolaryngologist.
Was it Dr. Jacono?
JK. No, I would have told you. But he wore this fancy fragrance, and I was working at a perfume store at the time, and I got it for him at a discount when he needed to re-up. It smelled so good. I think it was Cary Grant's fragrance.
Well, Creed has so many of those very...
I hope I got the name right. We'll put it on the blog, but honestly, if you're looking for a fragrance for a man or a woman in your life, it could go for either.
Was it sexy?
Oh, it just had like this musky base to it, but like a bright, astringent top, like sort of like the fern. What are they called? The scents with the fern in them. Not a chypre. Fougere.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And then I dated another guy for a hot second one date, and he was wearing it. And like immediately I was attracted to it because it reminded me of this person. But then I got the bad sense of like, oh, yeah, we broke up. So I can't smell that scent anymore.
It is weird how we are manipulated by fragrances, and we're using relationships as one thing, but like, yeah, it really is just, it's like a time capsule. It's like a beam me up Scotty moment.
Oh, one more, because let's go back to girls, because I want to hear yours.
Yeah.
Tommy Girl.
Oh, I love that one.
When I was wearing Tommy Girl, the boy part of the relationship was wearing Polo Ralph Lauren Blue.
You sporty spice.
That's right. It was around that time, I think. It was
like the late 90s or like early
2000s. It was like the turn of the century.
Yeah.
But they went well together.
Those do go really well together.
But I can't wear either of those ever again.
Okay, so I feel very fortunate because my fragrances are basically discontinued, the ones that I wore. So
during relationships.
Yes. Now I have to tell you, and I don't like to get too personal on this podcast. But
we know about your sensitive eyes, your bunions. Do you want
my breast reduction?
Yeah.
My childhood. No, but I don't. I like to.
When
kind
you
of,
got waxed in front of the television by the lady
at my aunt's house.
Don't get personal, Jess.
Okay, I don't like to get too. You know what I mean, in this way. But I remember waking up in my apartment that I shared with my previous partner.
Mm-hmm.
And not Jeff, love you, Jeff, the person before. And I remember waking up and there was something, I have to say, you're totally in a fog state. You're in shock. It's so freaking bad that it's amazing. You can even brush your teeth and move on with the world. Like full on Carrie Bradshaw after Big left her. Okay. Like the blinds were closed.
Had you broken up with him?
No, it was over. So but we were still in our apartment.
Was he still living with you?
No, he gave me a month to stay
in the
apartment.
But you're in the place where it all fell apart.
Yes. In the big.
Drama.
Okay. Also king size bed, which we were advised not to get because the salesman at Sleepy said that the bigger the bed. The less,
harder they fall.
The bigger the bed, you won't be able to cuddle. It creates distance. It was really interesting, and
so
I was
relationship fell apart because
it fell apart. Yeah,
bed.
It was the king size bed.
It's
positive.
The guy at Sleepy's fault.
Yeah,
basically,
Sixth Avenue Sleepy's. I'm coming at you. So, I'm there, and I woke up, and I remember seeing my bottle of Toca fragrance, which I love through and through, and it's still the most beautiful fragrance. It's Toca Stella.
Stella is gorgeous.
So good.
Oh, such a pretty fragrance.
Something like the beauty, expert inside me knew our time was
You're
done.
You're dead to me, Stella.
And
Stella!
Yes. And I swapped it out for, I don't remember what the new fragrance was, but I knew that I had to bookend that time because it would just make me feel like I had to get out. I had 31 days and counting.
Yeah.
So I knew that it was time to move forward and I had to make a change.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, I know what you replaced it with.
What?
Lady Gaga.
She had a fragrance?
Yes, with the black juice. Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah, it was black, which was unheard of.
It's delicious. It smells like peach, but it's black juice.
Dark and light. That feels appropriate for a breakup time. It's black, but inside I'm light and fresh.
Yeah,
and
it was a fierce bottle. Totally. Yeah.
Can I ask what happened to the king size bed?
He took it.
Fuck that guy.
It was a separating of all the furniture.
I know people who keep the same fragrance even after the relationships come and go, and they still have their signature scent. But like, I would advise against that. I feel like a breakup is a time for a new fragrance,
a fresh start. Maybe a fougère, maybe something clean and salty to wash it all away.
Maybe like Jo Malone Wood Sage and Sea Salt.
I'm wearing that today, my love.
It's like an ocean breeze, isn't
it?
Yes, that would be a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, DM us with your breakup fragrance.
Tell us what your breakup fragrance is or what you just cannot even smell anymore. Ugh.
Ugh.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Jess, how about this headline? The Cooley mini fridge is the best skincare mini micro fridge on Amazon. Dude, are there more than one skincare micro fridge on Amazon?
Are you guys really using skincare fridges?
So the first time I saw them was maybe 1 year ago. And I literally saw it and I thought, oh, this is that hokey thing that like the dad gets for his armchair for his beer. And then no, lo and behold, it was from a skincare company and they were advising me to store my skincare in a refrigerated atmosphere.
You know who always has stuff in a skincare fridge? Previous Fat Mascara guest Michelle Lee, the editor-in-chief of Allure.
She uses one,
She uses one, too.
So when I saw that, I immediately was like, wait, why do we put preservatives in products? The only skincare product I've ever used that you have to actually refrigerate is the Mother Dirt.
Oh, which what do they make? That's
at the time it was a spray. It's a lot, and there's a live bacteria in it because you're basically use it on your underarms, and then you don't need deodorant because it rebalances your microbiome so that you don't have all those like sulfur emitting bacteria.
That's a lot of work, Jen.
That's why I stopped using Mother Dirt because I was like, I love this concept, but you guys need to like stabilize this bacteria because I'm not about to go to the fridge.
So really quick, when I was in college, I worked. I know we talked about my time working at Friendly's, but there was a time in college where I had two jobs.
Friendly's making Fribbles.
And then I worked at Arden B for a little bit, owned by Wet Seal.
Arden B was like the slutty club girl place.
Excuse me, I had a beautiful pair of trousers. They had some risque clothing, but I think they tried to like kind of knock off high fashion, and I kind of at the Freehold Mall. I thought I was kind of high fashion work at Arden B. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but the other job I had, I didn't have three jobs. It was two jobs at a time. Skin Market. Have you ever heard of Skin Market?
Oh, yeah. What happened to that?
I remember a friend said it sounds like a strip club. Okay. Skin Market.
That you wear Arden B.
Yeah. So we had these fresh masks. That was our thing. And listen, guys, shout me out if you remember this.
Shouting you out.
Yes,
I remember this.
So I had to stir the thingies. They were in these like silver mixing bowls, and then if someone wanted one, we put it in a little kind of like a Dixie cup with a cap.
Uh-huh.
And the idea was, I said when I got there, like, why do they have to, you know, can we, is this just for show? And they're like, no, because it will only last a week. And I'd have to tell people it only lasts a week or something like that. But that was the last time I ever saw any beauty product. This is like 2000.
There's been a couple lines here and there where like their gimmick was, we don't use preservatives, so you have to refrigerate it. But the skincare fridges are not actually just for those products like Mother Dirt or Skin Market. They are for, oh, you want to keep your regular products in there because either A, you want them cool when you put them on, or B, they have a longer shelf life. But honestly, I'm not doing it.
I think it's a cute idea. I think if I were going in a freshman in college and I was kidding out my room, I'd be like, and I need a skincare fridge.
Well, that's funny you say that because they are $59.95 on Urban Outfitters. So you could have one there.
Yeah. I think it's for a certain demo. But like, do I think we need to add another appliance to our life, another like our energy sucker? I know I'm like sounding very like high on my
horse.
How
much carbon emissions are coming out of that skincare fridge?
Put it in your fridge.
That's the other thing. I'm pretty sure everybody has a regular fridge also. So if you really—
Probably most of our listeners do.
Yeah. And I will say I do like to put those little under eye patches in the fridge. Mm-hmm. And I also keep two ice packs. They're tiny ice packs that are like circular shape with little lashes that close on them.
Oh, that's cute.
You know how they say cold spoons for puffiness?
Yeah.
They. I love when we say they say. The beauty experts.
The experts say.
Which is us. No, I like to put those on my eyes if I've had a lot of salt. Like, truly, whenever I have sushi, I think it's the soy sauce, obviously. The next morning, I do the little patches to get rid of the puff.
I wonder if that works.
Or maybe I should get a skincare fridge for my nightside table and put my Joanna Vargas under eye patches in there.
If you have a skincare fridge, send us a photo. We may repost. Because I just want to know, like, what's – we get them as, like, presents from work. But I want to know who's using them, like, IRL.
Yeah, or is it just, like, a gimmicky thing?
Yeah.
So we're here with Shrunkla Holacek. She's the founder of the beauty brand Uma. And now when I met her, I knew you had worked in consulting and you'd go to business school, and you started this beauty brand. I had no idea how far back your beauty and wellness background goes, like hundreds of years, right? Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an incredible honor.
Welcome.
Oh, stop. But truly, I was like, oh, she's a businesswoman starting a skincare line. And then we started talking and I was like, oh, no, this is interesting. So I'm excited for you guys to hear the story. But your line, Uma, is based on Ayurvedic traditions, correct?
That's absolutely right.
So before we discuss the brand and you and whatever, can you just like ground us? What is Ayurveda? What does that mean?
You know, at its simplest, it is the system of medicine, or rather exclusively the system of medicine in India that Indians use for the simplest of ailments, such as a common cold, to some of the more tricky stuff, such as blood conditions. Obviously, that's changed in the last 200 to 300 years, but the Indian civilization goes back thousands and thousands of years. And up until recently, it was our only system of medicine, but much more, in that Ayurveda is very much a part of every Indian's lifestyle, so much so that they're doing it without even knowing it. And it's also fascinating to watch that even in the West, people are integrating Ayurvedic principles, sometimes, again, without knowing where they come from, like drinking lemon water in the morning.
The lemon water is Ayurveda?
Yes.
Wait, how is it Ayurveda?
Because
or Ayurvedic, whatever.
Its tenets come from actually detoxing and alkalizing your system every morning. And it's just one of those things that traditional Western medicine has not proven out. But the anecdotal evidence is so strong and it is so sworn by that a lot of people adopt it and use it in their lifestyle. But it's Ayurvedic. It's one of the five things that you should do every morning based on Ayurvedic principles.
Wait, now
we have
what are the other four?
We have other questions, but I'm like, before we get to those, what are they?
Drink my lemon water.
Before that, definitely clean your tongue with a topper tongue scraper.
Okay.
Does everyone in India have a tongue scraper?
Yes. And the crazy thing is, I didn't know that people didn't. In the West. So when I moved here like 12 years ago, I'm like, so where do I buy? Like, I need to replace mine. And then I realized that grocery stores don't sell it. Yeah. That's when I realized that Indians clean their tongue with a tongue scraper, all 1.2 billion of us. And it was not heard of. But the tongue is a very big hotbed for bacterial activity. Oh. And in Ayurveda, your gut and your digestive system is key to anything. Great skin, great energy, weight management. Mm-hmm. And if you don't detox your tongue, you're sort of setting your entire system up for toxins. So that's a
note
second.
To self. Yeah, get tongue scraper. Okay, number
and
three.
It's really cheap. You know, you get 15 for like 10 bucks on Amazon. Mm. Just keep them on stack. I like lemon water. This is more intense, but oil pulling is tremendous.
I didn't know oil pulling was Ayurvedic. I had no idea.
Also Ayurvedic. Yeah, see, which is something that it's kind of nice, right? Like the East and the West are blending in sort of nicely together, and we're putting our differences aside.
Wait, so this is for people who don't know, like a mouthful of coconut oil that you swish around like some Listerine, right?
Gwyneth Paltrow is like really into it.
She, interestingly, in a large part is to be given credit for mainstreamizing Ayurveda, for lack of a better word, because I think that she obviously tries a lot of things, yeah, and a lot of things that she does try are based on her Ayurvedic doctor that she fell in love with about 12 years ago. Oh. And he's Ayurvedic. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we got oil pulling, lemon water, the tongue scraping. Number four.
Number four is dry brushing.
Oh, I do that.
We do that.
Okay.
Well, tell everybody what dry body brushing is.
Dry body brushing is the notion of taking a vegetable bristle dry brush and gently flicking your skin upward towards your heart all the way up to the neck.
Like before you get in the shower.
Before you get in the shower, exactly. And you're not trying to break down fat when you're trying to do that. A lot of people I see scrubbing.
Oh yeah, I'm going
away
for it.
Yeah, I just feel like it's melting stuff.
Like smoothing out my cellulite ripples, just like, or the big dots I have like divots.
So here's the thing. The way it breaks down your cellulite is a slightly different mechanism, which is basically it moves your lymphatic system. Mm. So the lymphatic drainage system is a system of circulation above the blood circulation, but below the skin. It goes all over your body. And you know, we all know of lymph nodes. Dry brushing and gently flicking skin dry up in upward motion actually helps move that lymph around and detox it. And that's how it battles cellulite. And the fifth one is, just before you step into the shower, practice a self-abhyanga, which is basically self-massage with sesame or coconut or even olive oil with flat palms, mm-hmm, flat on the bone and rounded on all of your
joints.
Thank
she
you.
She did flat across her forearm and then round on her elbow, since yeah, you guys can't
wait,
see.
Flat. Okay, I have my flat open massage palm, and I'm going to go from like my wrist to my elbow, and then I'm rubbing my joints.
Exactly. Wherever you meet a joint, you round it out. And spend like dry brush for like a few minutes. Do just a little bit of a solid oil massage, starting again all the way. Jump into the shower. Within 2 to 3 weeks, your skin would be a different animal.
I'm going to try this because I feel like, you know, if it's worked for so long and it's an extra like few minutes before the shower, I would say, or maybe 2 minutes. Okay, so you grew up, to me, this is all news to me. But you grew up, this was like your household practice, right? This was just always around. Like you grew up as a little kid, like better oil myself
where did
up.
Where did you grow up?
In India, in the northern part of India. A little bit, I lived a little bit away from my parents because where my parents grow, everything is very, very rural. So not very many people speak English.
Where your parents grow?
Our farms are all in central India.
So tell us about the farms.
So we farm about 500 acres of miscellaneous things that are not traditional crops. So we will have a 70...
A specialty farm.
Indeed. A different kind of specialty farm like than you see in United States right now. Mm-hmm. But fragrant...
Is she talking about weed? I think
think she is.
Yeah.
Sorry, I live in California now.
Okay,
so I'm just
like,
threw
let's go
that
there.
In there.
So your family grows specialty botanicals.
Exactly. And they're typically fragrant botanicals that go into our essential oil production. Mm. So 70 acres of vetiver, 50 acres of eucalyptus.
Oh, that's got to smell great.
It all does, but it's also organic, so there's also a smell of cow dung and cow urine in there.
Instead of Monsanto GMO fertilizer.
Cow manure.
Also, just so Jess knows, I know this, but tell her how long your family has been doing this farming.
800 years, since the 12th century, yeah.
So you're like the head of, you're like the descendant of a dynasty,
a botanical dynasty.
Yes.
I don't know. You should tell me. You're the royal family.
Okay. I hear ye, hear ye. Dane you. I don't know.
No, you so are stupid. Is your family known in India or in the region you're from?
We
this?
Are. Okay. I mean, and we're generally known across India.
Okay.
You know, even though we're technically still the physicians for the royal family, it's more of a nominal title. It certainly isn't something that would pay the bills.
You're also your family has been the physicians to the royal family back in the day when you
yes.
had royals?
So that's how it all started.
Okay.
Because we were the physicians and Ayurvedic medicine is all plant-based, we started growing all this stuff back then for the medicine, for the royalty and the kingdom and things like that. And then as that became more of a nominal thing and, you know, India got its independence about 70 years ago, the demand for essential oils in the West from Indian oils really started increasing. So the rose, the jasmine, the sandalwood. And then it made sense for my family to take all these crops and things that they were growing and make it a real viable business in essential oil manufacturing.
Wow.
Which they sell to who?
To Estee Lauder, Tom Ford. Chances are if you've used a traditional perfume, there might be one of our essential oils lurking in there.
I didn't know that you were so you really are like fragrance royalty and cosmetic royalty.
Thank you. I'll not protest the validity of that.
We should have you on the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, that's really interesting. You're like the head of raw materials.
Yeah.
So that's a new title.
I like the dame, the queen of the botanicals.
Versus head of raw materials.
Yeah. So you touched upon something which is funny because my next question was about this. A lot of the Ayurvedic traditions and treatments have lots of anecdotal evidence that they work. But say you were to take the westernized medicine and the peer-reviewed journals with a clinical study and test some of these Ayurvedic things – they all haven't been tested, right? Do you think that what do you say to people who are like, well, there's no proof that these treatments work?
Like the lemon water thing.
Yeah.
I read a lot of like, you know, goopy new age stuff. And, you know, I part of me is like, how do we really know? I love it. But I'm like, how do we really know?
You know, I think three things at them because, I'm an engineer. Both my parents are PhDs. So we are people of a lot of science.
Yeah.
And just by the way, every time we sell an essential oil to someone, we do serious chromatography and all of that stuff. So,
what's chromatography?
That basically establishes how pure an essential oil is.
Oh,
and you
cool.
need that to be able to sell. But unfortunately, and this is a whole other thing, customers constantly ask me, I bought this from XYZ Essential Oil MLM company. How do I know it's pure? I'm like, frankly, you don't, because unless you have the only way to establish whether it's pure is to run it through those, you know, that machinery that costs so much money.
So would your recommendation be to just buy from, if you are buying essential oils, I'm not talking about the ones that are in, you know, cooked up in the products, but if you're going to buy an essential oil, is it just to go for the quality brand? Because we can't do this test at home.
I would say do research, because unfortunately, there's too much marketing around this. I would say ask if the company you're buying from knows where it comes from. If they didn't grow it themselves, which chances are they didn't, are they just one step removed from the producer? That is, and if they can't give you an answer to that, try to find another company.
Wow, that's very useful advice.
It's good because even when I write about not just Ayurvedic traditions, but other, I don't know what to call them, but like alternative health practices, our fact-checking
department. Goopy didn't do it for you?
No, Goopy, there you go. Our fact-checking department at like our magazines is like, well, where's the white paper to prove it? And I'm like, you're basing that on a Western like way of thinking of this is the only medicine in the world. Like even with Chinese medicine practices and things like that, it's nice to hear that like it's okay to not have that and you can still benefit.
And absolutely. And, you know, going back to the great question that you asked, I think there's three things. The first one is the idea of compliance and understanding that when you eliminate the root cause of something, as you're trying to do, the timing will be much different than eliminating the root, the symptom. And the West has become so addicted to instant gratification around the symptom, such as, you know, how does Xanax work? It works by blocking the receptors rather than getting rid of anxiety. So you just don't feel the anxiety. It hasn't gone anywhere. You just stop feeling it. And that's sort of the cadence we have come to work in that if I don't see relief within minutes or with skincare within a week, it's done. I'm throwing it out. But that wrinkle took months or weeks or years to form.
Yeah.
If you truly want to sort of plump it and make its appearance better, it's not going to happen in a week's time. So the first thing is compliance, which is different in the West. The second thing is subjectivity versus objectivity. Ayurveda is very personal. I feel a little bit like a cheat, sort of mass promoting Ayurveda, because in India, we personally consulted for everyone. You know, what worked for you for a headache would be different for what would work for you.
You wouldn't just go buy in a bottle of something. You talk to the doctor.
Exactly, because then I would sort of understand your dosha, I would understand your diet, I'd understand your lifestyle, and I would tailor around why the same symptom is coming from two different root causes. But that being said, in the West, everything is objective. In the East, everything is subjective. So sometimes the flip side is very often in the West, women don't find relief for things that don't show up in blood work. Does that mean?
Oh, absolutely. I can firsthand. Yeah, that. And you feel like, oh, am I going crazy? There's nothing, you know, the doctor says there's nothing wrong with me. This happens all the time. I think especially a lot to women. And men, too. That was not fair. And men, too. I can think of some great examples.
And I think that is why Ayurveda is finally seeing its light of day, because people are starting to understand the limitations and open their minds to where science hasn't yet gone. And which brings me to the third point around economics warrant that stuff is put around testing. What you can monetize. You can pour billions of dollars into testing a drug, and then you own the patent on it. And everyone thinks that, oh, why don't you have $1 billion of testing just lying around in your back pocket? Well, economics, you know, it's not like I'll patent Ayurveda and then sell it to the rest of the world.
Right.
It's an age-old science. With that said, science is finally emerging, like this a Cambridge study around what happens to your brain when you inhale certain essential oils.
I swear she's also like psychic, because you're like asking the questions in the you're answering these questions I had in the order, because we wanted to ask you about aromatherapy. What is this Cambridge study?
It's so it was around studying the brain activity when certain essential oils were inhaled.
Okay.
And fascinating things were found, like jasmine lights up the same part of the brain when inhaled as when you're experiencing joy.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Lavender has a profound impact on how your body interprets anxiety. And some of the things that doctors will tell you to do, such as breathing deeper when feeling anxious, get forced by the brain when lavender is inhaled.
Oh, you take a deeper breath because you're smelling lavender?
It's sort of your breath gets deeper after your brain forces you to take deeper breaths after inhalation. Rosemary is often used in Alzheimer's patients because it has been shown to boost memory retention by up to 75%. And like all these studies finally are becoming, like if you look up white papers, you can actually find this.
Yeah.
Like I hope everyone
is everybody in India like, yeah, we told you like 1,000 years ago.
No, Indians have too much time dealing with our problems than being But yeah, we got a lot of problems, but another time.
Okay, so excluding the use of UMA products, which we do want to get into, And you gave us like the five things you do every morning. Are there any like things that you do that are Ayurvedic rituals that other people are just like, seriously? I heard something about butter in your belly button.
That is really yeah, something
butter
something.
In your belly button.
So oil in your belly button and clarified butter ghee is what.
Okay.
So within Ayurveda, your belly button is a very, very important part of balance in the body. You were fed through your belly button in your mother's womb, and it still packs not only a lot of nerves, but has massive absorption qualities. And the way I break...
that weirds me out. I'm holding my hands over my belly button.
I mean, just
feels very
this.
Exposed right now.
So you put ghee in your belly button,
and if you experience a lot of like dryness or chapped lips, that will take care of it within a few days.
You win for the wildest beauty tip we've ever gotten on the show.
Clarified butter in our belly button, and our chapped lips will go away.
Yes, in a few days.
She's not even flinching. She's like, yes, it will.
I defy someone. I'm using the wrong words. I'm asking one of our subjects to try this.
I'm going to do it.
Oh, you're going to do it?
I have ghee at home. I cook with ghee.
I can't smell like butter at work.
Does it make you smell like butter?
No. I mean, not unless you don't shower for days.
You got me.
And I do recommend if you wear expensive nightwear, I don't, so I don't even bother with this, but put a little bit of cotton over your belly button if
it's cute.
You don't want to. It's
like a plug, a cotton plug.
Exactly. If you, and it's called Nabhi Chikitsa, which simply translated means navel therapy.
And that's a Hindi word?
Hindi word. It's highly recommended. Everyone does it. The two are ghee or mustard oil, which is harder to get your hands on in the West.
So that's like a vegan option.
That's a vegan option.
Okay.
Exactly.
Mustard oil. Does mustard, does it burn or give you like a weird sensation?
No. It's smellier than ghee, but it's not at all
the
weird.
Ghee, yeah. The mustard.
I love it. Okay. So can we talk about some of the ingredients that Ayurveda relies on, like what are some
ghee
of the
and mustard we got.
Tick tick. What else?
So I want to underscore ghee because it's all dosha pacifying, so it's very, very good.
I hate it to back you up.
Dosha.
Okay, yeah. I was like, I know that we can really spend a lot of time talking about this, but like in a nutshell, what's a dosha? Because you said it a couple times.
A dosha is how the earth's elements. Ayurveda believes there are five: earth, water, air, ether, and fire. How they have manifested in your body as a combination at the time of conception.
What is your dosha?
Pitta.
And what's that one about?
Here's when it's good. When it's fiery, it's fire and water. So when I am feeling good, I am in balance, I'm articulate, I am focused. Mm-hmm. And when I'm out of balance, I have a lot of rage.
She's fiery. This sounds like the astrology,
cool.
That a lot of people in the West talk about.
You know, Ayurveda has some tenets of astrology as well.
Okay.
But the Vata Pitta Kapha thing basically will give you...
Those are the different doshas.
Yes. Okay. Vata would be the air and ether, so it's very flighty. This is your friend who never puts on weight. She's sometimes anxious. Her hair is frazzled. When she's out of balance, she is not sleeping at all. But
this is not me.
But she's
like
very
fat
creative.
And tired.
What's the fat and tired dosha?
Yeah.
Well, that's Kapha.
Come on, Kaphas. I see you, Kaphas. What are Kaphas like?
It's earth and water. And funny, you know, I'll tell you, Kaphas.
Well, I am an earth sign.
Well, that
so like Jen was saying, it's like keep going.
No, and a little tidbit. Kaphas tend to be the most just financially successful.
Ooh,
and here's why. They have a lot of fundamental stability in their nature, which is, you know, think about like the slow moving bit of it. And
she's the slowest person in the world.
I knew you were going to love that.
Because when we walk downstairs, I kid you not,
I have bad balance.
I'll be at the bottom and she'll be like very
gingerly,
methodically walking down the stairs. And the subway doors will be closing, and she'll be like, I'm not rushing. Wait, I'm going
to
get there.
I'm not going to fall down the stairs to get there 5 minutes earlier. Like, I'll
that's
wait for the next one.
No?
And that's leader-like, right? Like,
oh, and
the
leaders?
World will wait for me.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of qualities that the world's has respected in sort of leadership and therefore made CEOs out of.
Jen's looking at
tend to be Kapha types because they're
cool.
Like a little bit, you know, grounded and statuesque and deliberate in their decision making. Pithas tend to be political leaders because of, you know, a lot of like speaking and flustering and passion. And the best creatives come from Vata.
What's Vata? Because I'm trying to put Jen in it. I'm trying to find her dosha without doing like a test.
And you can be mixed as well. Vata tends to be, a little bit on the drier side. Little
like in sense of humor or like
skin? No, skin.
Oh.
Skin.
Dry, very dry,
thin.
Skin.
Difficulty putting on weight.
That's
I get
Jen.
Skinny when I'm stressed.
Yes.
I'm so jealous. Yeah. No,
no
she
it's not good either. You want to be in balance is what I hear you saying, right?
But but then within your dosha. So that's the thing. All the things that I'm saying kind of are expressions of imbalanced dosha, such as the poor sleep and losing weight.
What are her good qualities? What are the Vata? Because I feel like we said nice
I'm
things
creative.
About everyone.
I'm creative.
Creative.
They're the sharpest creatives in the room when that energy is channeled well. As well as...
We're poor and skinny, but we sure are creative.
You know,
oh my God! I don't think this is totally for you, Jen.
It's not the wealth thing was specifically just called out.
Shock was like, "Oh Lord,
this is, what have I done?"
How can our listeners figure out their dosha?
It's terrible to suggest this, but you can get the first 80% by very often taking an internet quiz. Okay.
Do you have one on your website?
You know, we used to right now, but there's so many good ones out there that, you know, but again, that's 80% there because here's the complicating factor. All of us have all three. We just have one predominant one. But sometimes when the non-predominant one goes out of balance, you'll start showing signs of it.
Okay.
Like even Vatas can gain weight when their Kapha goes out of balance.
So this is why you need the doctor and you can't just...
That's why, that's the thing. The last 20% is the doctor.
Okay. I was asking about ingredients though. Can we, let's just like backpedal for a second. What are some like mainstream Ayurvedic ingredients?
Turmeric is a big one.
You're the guys behind the turmeric latte?
We are.
Oh my God.
Golden milk.
Yes.
You're the guys. Your whole country.
All of us. You know, but yes.
I love those.
They are great for you. Their turmeric has a lot of cumarin. And again, going back to what the West actually respects cumarin. Cumarin. I can never get the R in the right place in the pronunciation, but it's a well-established ingredient of turmeric that has a lot of antioxidant and anti-inflammatory power. It's great. Other things I personally love is something called triphala, and it's very detoxifying. It's also regularity-inducing in the
in
system.
Your bowels?
Exactly.
What's triphala? Like a
triphala
herb?
is a combination of herbs, and it's very readily available at, you know, Whole Foods or Amazon. I just buy my 100 tablets for $10 on Amazon. It, you know, just buy an Ayurvedic
one. It's a tablet?
It's also a powder, but I find the tablet form easy.
Oh.
Yeah, it's basically, it's a powder made of two or three Ayurvedic herbs, but it's very, anytime that you start to feel a little bit bloated or like I'm breaking out, the first thing in Ayurveda we recommend is a detox. And triphala tends to be a very detoxing herb. So I like triphala within Ayurveda quite a bit. Aloe is very important in Ayurveda, and fresh aloe as much as possible. So, You know, I've seen Whole Foods actually sell leaves.
You could grow a plant.
Yeah, yes. My grandma had an aloe plant.
Are they cat safe? I would have gotten you one of those, Jess.
I don't know.
We need to check on
that. We'll check on that.
I was trying to get her a plant last time I visited her, but like so many plants, if you have a cat, you can't grow them. But
very toxic.
I'll check on the aloe.
Yes.
Sorry, I took us off topic.
No, it's very easy to
grow. It's an important topic.
And it grows prolifically, and it's great for anything from heartburn to great skin.
Okay. Yeah.
So just take out the fleshy cube, throw a little bit of black pepper on it, and just eat it.
Oh, eat it. I thought we were talking about putting it on topically.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have clarified. I was talking about stuff that you should put in your mouth. And yes.
Okay, that's
so
really interesting.
Trifla and aloe, eat them very much. They are very recommended. A fourth one is neem. It's not very popular in the West yet because it's an evergreen tree in India, but it is very purifying of blood, is believed.
And you take a neem tablet?
You can take a tablet. You can take it in syrup format. Almost every Indian girl in her teens who struggled with acne has put it on her skin in a paste.
Yeah, you have neem in some of the products,
in our clarifying products, yes, because it's a very beloved ingredient for detoxing and purifying both skin and internally.
So let's talk about Uma, because Uma's mostly topical products,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Why did you start this company? Obviously, your family has this heritage, but what made you want to bring it? I don't know where are you sold. You're sold like Net-a-Porter and Viagra and like all the fancy stuff.
I think it was, that I was actually doing consulting and I moved to the United States for business school, but I did live in LA and I observed a couple of things. One, even in the time that I was there, I saw a systematic change in how much people were questioning the source of ingredients and asking questions.
Oh, I mean, our listeners.
All the time.
You know, even celebrities are literally at farmers markets, like Jennifer Garner is buying fruit for her kids because she, I don't know, doesn't trust Whole Foods and wants to talk to the
Nobody
farmers.
Trusts anyone. Yeah.
That is true.
And it's increasingly happening. And I felt like there might be validity in bringing an ingredient untouched from where it was farmed directly to the consumer. You know, it's skincare tends to be a little bit black box. I wanted to open it up.
What do you mean black box?
Till the time it's delivered to you, you can't really ask questions about where was this farmed? Mm-hmm. How did you make it? Can you tell me how to make this at home? And I wanted to change that, that a lot of Ayurveda, you can whip it up at home. You never have to buy a single Uma product.
Like, there's no way I could whip up an Uma oil at home. Sorry.
I thought I was putting the plants on my skin. So this is I need some instruction.
Well, you can put tomato and papaya on your skin and that's would be lovely. That was one reason. A, the ability to sort of just open it up and sort of almost say, hey, you want to know where your rose oil vintage 2019 comes from? Come to our farm. Talk to the farmers. See the happy mm-hmm. people are growing it. And the second thing was, I think that Ayurveda was misunderstood and a little bit bastardized and almost pandering to the fringes. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of only the provocative and crazy sounding stuff was being put out there. Like
patchouli hippies in the weird herb shop kind of situation.
Right. You know, like don't
like
question
butter in your
things.
Belly button.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Trust your experience. If it doesn't work for you, you know, I haven't made you buy some $500 crystal.
That's true.
You know, if it's not working for you, stop it day 6 or 7, mm-hmm. you know. Trust your experience with all of these things. Mm-hmm. But the thing I feel comfortable around is offering up things that don't cost people money. Yeah. And you're not telling them to go do a set of essential oils that cost $300 in a set and that you make. It's often household stuff. But that being said, to go back to the practical advice was I felt missing and mired behind. And this sounds weird coming from a luxury brand. I know our products are expensive and at Neiman and Net and things like that. But Ayurveda is somewhat elite right now.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, it's a science of the masses, you know?
That is actually a really strange, like, I don't know if it's ironic, but it is kind of, it's unfortunate and it's ironic. Because when I think of Ayurveda, I think of like really particular ingredients and really, you know, specialized. It's like next.
When it's patro-y.
Yeah, yeah. I hate
but
to say it.
But it's not. Yeah. You know, when you go to on an Ayurvedic detox, you don't go buy $100 worth of juice every day. All you do is sort of go on a plan which involves a very basic recipe of three spices and rice and lentils.
I bet Sakara sells it for like $90, right? No, there's companies that do that.
But, you know, you can make that. Like
I love this. Ayurveda for like the real girl or like on the cheap.
It is. That's the thing. It's 90% of it is not product based. It's like I will tell you that if you're stressed out, you don't need to buy a product. You need to practice alternate nostril meditation. You know.
Oh, I've tried that. I didn't know. This Ayurveda yes. is like part of so
it's
many different things.
Yeah.
Yoga is Ayurveda.
Oh yeah, of course. We didn't even.
And
that's
pranayama.
The most obvious yeah. one, right?
I honestly didn't know. I thought that yoga was like a separate thing that had origins in India, but I thought that Ayurveda was like, I need cumin, I need pepper, and we're going to mix it up in like a $40 salad,
They're both parts of...
No disrespect. I'm just saying this is
no,
like,
which is,
you see
thank you,
Gwyneth Drake. And co doing it. You think it's for people who have time and money to do this kind of thing.
No. And I say no with a little bit of hesitation because the only thing that trips me up about Ayurveda, and I've had it hard to practice in the life that I live here, is the emphasis on fresh food. Ayurveda is not a big fan of freezing food.
Well, I thank you for your honesty. Okay.
You know, but it's yeah. jars. It's sort of, it's hard. Like, it's so much easier for me to pull something out of my freezer and yeah. thaw it than, you know, make the... With the exception of that, all Ayurvedic things are super practical, super straightforward. I mean, the dry brushing, buy a $5 yeah. dry brush.
I feel mm-hmm. like if you were looking to sell your company to like Estee Lauder or something, they'd sort of nip that whole talking point in the bud. They'd be like, stop telling people to get the cheap stuff. Tell them to buy your face oils.
That's really funny.
You know, but the crazy thing
is... You just want to bring in any form possible.
Oh, and the truth is, people, I would never want someone buying Uma because they felt like... That's the only access to Ayurveda. They're completely different questions to answer. You know, Uma is as much an indulgence as it is a necessity. And I've always said that. Don't skimp on sleep. My products will never help you look better if you've gone on 4 hours mm-hmm. of sleep.
So what's the best-selling product in the Uma line?
The anti-aging line, specifically the body oil, which is very, very delightful and indulgent, goes on after the shower. It's called the Absolute Anti-Aging Body Oil. It's called anti-aging because it's got specific ingredients such as frankincense, which helps cellular turnover. So mm-hmm. it strengthens mm-hmm. skin cells, and grapefruit, which actually can boost circulation a little bit, so can help with sort of how skin appears,
okay.
you know, because it's circulating better. And that's one of our best sellers.
I'll
our eye oil
that.
Is also pretty popular.
What do you say to people? I know all of your products are pretty much oil-based in glass jars. What do you say when people are like, but I like a nice foamy cleanser, or I like a water-based product?
It's the first thing I say, without seeming... rude, is Uma's not for everyone, okay? Because it's a departure from how you take care of your skin. I mean, keep in mind that this is kitchen pharmacy, right? And kitchens don't naturally have soap. So what you've got is oats and honey and calendula and a little bit of turmeric and things like that. So to get the results that you want in terms of balancing your skin and allowing it to thrive, you're going to have to put the time in to extract what nature, what the environment has aggressed. You know, we all need sunscreen these days mm-hmm. or and so on. So you need to get it off your skin. But by and large, you want to remove just what's external, not what the skin naturally produces. I mean, we're intelligent beings. We've evolved over tens of thousands of years. The skin knows what it's doing.
So do you feel, it's interesting to say we don't need to remove all that. I mean, so much right now, when you look at the beauty climate, is about, you know, I have to say, a little bit aggressive treatments. We just talked about this on the show a week or two ago. Do you kind of cringe at that?
Like lots of acids and peels. And
yeah, it's all like a DIY derm stuff right now at home.
And again, I know it's all on trend. One of my people say, boil it down to one piece of advice. I say, do not overstrip skin. There is such a... Everyone constantly exfoliates and constantly uses acid. And I'll tell you something crazy. Dark skin girls like myself should not be using acid. And, you know, you talked about research. Look at acid peel. For brown girls, the first study that comes up is Mayo Clinic advising against peels for dark skin girls. Nobody tells you that.
Because it causes inflammation that causes hyperpigmentation?
Absolutely.
Okay,
in a very large majority of cases. Like, people scar permanently. Mm. And I don't think any dark-skinned girl is told that when being sold an acid.
Interesting.
Wow. That's really, that's really valuable information. Is there a beauty product from another line that you feel like, oh, I wish I'd invented that, or just really admire?
You know, I sometimes, sun products, you know, we can't have them because we're 100% organic and there's really no, you know, there are some oils that are pretty good, but not the level of protection you want. Mm. So sometimes I look at a great sun product, like, you know,
What do you use?
Supergoop is something I end up using.
Intern Tiff loves Supergoop.
It's a great brand. Which one do you use? Do you remember?
I use the spray one that goes on sort of like pretty light. And after, like, sometimes if I've forgotten to put it under makeup, it's just like a little spray, like white bottle. And I mean, I tried a little bit of the sun drops. I haven't used it enough, Barbara Sturm's, to really know. But they at least go on great. So sun products is one. Mm-hmm. And recently I discovered... I was at doing a beauty summit for Net-a-Porter and Larry King Hair Care.
I just raised the wand to one of his products.
Which
product
do you like?
It's A Social Life for Your Hair. Yeah. And I was in Singapore and I promise you my hair was growing horizontally or vertically by the minute. I was looking like a lion at these summits. And Larry King was also, you know, at the thing. And they're like, let us put some social life in your hair.
That's a cute name.
And, oh my God, I love it. It does not weigh your hair
down. It's very light. I have it too. I've used it a few times. It's a very light. Some of the creams, there, it feels like you're putting body butter in your hair. This is like just, it's so, it's not whipped, but it feels very light.
And I like that it doesn't weigh hair down. It's like, you know, I have very fine hair. So that's something that's been on mine for me for the last 3 weeks. I'm like, this is kind of a nice product.
Nice.
One I could never make, but it's
there
cool.
You go. Yeah, yeah.
So what's your, we've talked about the hair and the SPF, but what's sort of your makeup look?
Yeah,
what's your go-to?
Because like, also your skin's just fabulous. And I'm like going to go oil pull tomorrow and drink my lemon
You're
water.
A very good advertisement for Ayurveda.
But you
have kind, but no, and I don't. And in part, I did buy literally downstairs a mascara and a lipstick because I felt so washed out.
Stop. Oh, at the beauty supply store downstairs?
I was like, Belinda, look, there's a beauty
store. I can't believe you put on makeup just for us.
I had to. No. And I kept saying, I have to go back to the hotel to... you know, over drink someday, I'll tell you my today story. But I was like,
you need a drink?
Up.
Is that what you just said? We should have had some wine.
We used to do wine. We don't, because we don't, I don't know how we got so serious.
But tell us your favorite mascara then before we let you go.
Oh, I actually like Dior Show.
Oh, Dior
and
Show.
It's
a
I know
true
people
fat mascara.
People go, oh my God, you know, it's not a clean brand. I realize that, but you know, I absolutely love it.
It's all about balance.
Yes,
right.
That's what I say. You know, have I been known to pop an Advil when I have a really splitting headache?
Just like the turmeric's not cutting it this time.
It's not going to. Yeah, it's not going to. It's, you know, it's chronic versus acute. When you're feeling something acute, go do what you got to do to get through your day, but then focus on what's chronically causing the problem through your belly oil
advice.
And stuff like that.
So many things I want to try now after this interview. What about you, Jess?
I like this pre-shower ritual that you discussed. You know,
it's very kapha of you, nice and slow.
Pre-shower ritual. Just like, you know, take my time. A little rub on the elbow. I'm gonna try that. And I bet you just probably slide into your bed sheets at night because you're so soft.
That's what I'm going to leave listeners with a vision of
sliding into the bed
sheets. Because just, that's like, not going to startup life.
Oh my god,
this was great. Thank you so much for coming
on the show.
Thank
you so much for having me.
It's time to raise a wand, but first. I told you we'd talk about belly buttons, did I not?
Oh, my gosh.
Are you going to put ghee in your belly button?
I'm still wondering, what if you have an Audi?
We didn't ask her
about Audis.
Do you just, like, rub it on the outside of your Audi? It's a really good question.
All right.
We're going to do a follow-up.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, we'll figure out in a week or two, and we'll get an answer from Shrankla about Audi belly buttons and Ayurvedic treatments. I feel like that sentence probably grossed out a lot of people for some reason.
I'm just picturing, like, Cabbage Patch Kids right now.
Didn't all the Cabbage Patch Kids have Audi belly buttons?
I think they may have. Yeah, they all had Audi because it was a little button.
Yeah.
Remember the little tushy that was sewn up with the signature?
Yeah. Cute.
Yeah. Okay.
What are you raising wine to?
So I know we talked about a few weeks ago. It was so weird. We were on the same page talking about, like, eucalyptus items. So I have to say, thank you, Malin and Getz. You heard my cries. You knew that the temperature was rising and that my air conditioner busted this week.
Did it?
Yes. Remember, it was like 80 degrees the other day?
It actually was 80.
I'm telling you, my apartment was just like unbearable. So what I did was I took home their Malin & Getz Peppermint Body Scrub. It's the cheapest AC going.
So not eucalyptus.
No, but it has, like, it's a cooling.
Okay,
I think
it may have
some eucalyptus in it. No, it's peppermint.
You know what? They sent it to us with a eucalyptus shower gel that
they make.
But I tried both. And what do you think of the peppermint?
Oh, my God. My body temperature, I felt like it went down 20 degrees. I felt fresh as a daisy. And I was chilly for a little bit when I jumped into my sheets.
So you just have to keep, if your air conditioning breaks, just keep washing with the peppermint scrub from
Malin & Getz. Then I put, just side note, and I've already raised a wand to this, the Naturopathica, like, rescue remedy. Like,
also
the,
minty.
It's very minty. And I put that all over my body, and I went to bed, and I was like,
it sounds like it worked.
It was a hack. It's a very quick hack, so you better fall asleep fast.
This is very volatile aroma chemicals. They flash off your skin quickly, and that creates a cooling sensation.
I was freezing.
Science lesson. Okay. I also am going to go summary. I'm raising a wand to Elizabeth Arden Great 8 8-Hour Daily Defense Moisturizer Broad Spectrum Sunscreen SPF 35. Dun, 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 dun.
I saw this.
8-Hour is it 8-Hour Cream? What's the original
called? 8-Hour Cream.
I've loved it for years, as do makeup artists. Puts a nice highlight on your skin. It's a do-it-all salve. They've really blown out that franchise and made a lot of 8 products with it. And I was like, a sunscreen? It is so serum-y. It doesn't have any of the chalkiness of some of
this
the...
This is incredible.
It doesn't have the siliconeness of some of the primers, because I feel like that gives you, like, the blockage. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the chalkiness of some of the mineral sunscreens. Like, I love the Tizo, but it can be a little chalky.
Yeah, I'm putting this in my... Sorry.
This is truly moisturizing like 8-Hour is, not as greasy as 8-Hour. So it has, like, a nice dewiness to it.
Wow, this is awesome.
Isn't that lovely?
I'm putting it on my face right now, guys, and I have not tried this yet. It is, like, it feels like a beautiful silky serum. That's it.
You would not know there's sunscreen in this if you didn't know already. Plus, it's got all those good moisturizing qualities. If you're someone who has dry or sensitive or mature skin, sunscreen, like, settles into lines and, like, doesn't feel great. This one is dope.
That's beautiful.
Super dope. Grade 8, it's called.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social at fatmascara, shoot us a DM, and we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.